Thank you for that introduction. The distribution and relative abundances of phytophagous insects over small spatial scales may be influenced by many abiotic or biotic factors. One biotic factor is polyploidy, which may influence the suitability of plants as insect hosts. Polyploidy is a type of genetic variation in which an individual has more than two complete sets of chromosomes, and as many as 70% of angiosperm species have polyploid lineages. Solidago altissima, or tall goldenrod, can be diploid, tetraploid, or hexaploid, and these groups are called cytotypes. S. altissima is a common perennial herb throughout much of eastern North America. It has clonal growth in which rhizomes produce multiple ramets or stems, and it's associated with a rich arthropod fauna of herbivores and pollinators, which may preferentially attack one cytotype. For example, gall makers often preferentially attack one cytotype of S. altissima within a field. However, the preference is not consistent across fields. We tested the following three hypotheses. First, that ramets at different ploidal levels have distinct phenotypes and inhabit different microhabitats. Second, that herbivores differentially attack cytotypes of S. altissima at a regional scale. And third, that ploidal level influences host plant selection by herbivores, independent of environmental factors. So we marked 30 to 50 ramets in each of 10 natural sites in eastern and northern Illinois, and we determined the ploidal level of each ramet with flow cytometry. We also planted a common garden with 30 clones of each cytotype, randomizing the position of the clones within the garden. There is a diversity of prairie plants surrounding each one of our clones, and we did not modify the surrounding habitat in order to avoid artificially influencing the colonization of plants by insects. We measured 8 characters of the ramets, and we also characterized the habitat surrounding each ramet in our natural field sites. For the purposes of this talk, we present only results for a few variables which we predicted would be most likely to influence host plant choice. And these are height of the stem, number of plant species within 1 meter of the ramet, distance to overstory trees, and the proportion of the ground covered with grasses within 1 meter of the ramet. We surveyed populations of herbivores on each ramet once a year during August 2007 and 2008. And we found that the three cytotypes do have distinct phenotypes and they inhabit different microhabitats within a field. For example, hexaploids, on average, are the tallest plants. They grow the closest to overstory trees. They are surrounded by the highest plant richness and the lowest proportion of grasses. However, cytotypes were not phenotypically distinct in the common garden. None of the 8 characters that we measured for the ramets differed significantly among the cytotypes. This suggests that an interaction between ploidal level and environmental factors may influence the phenotype of the cytotypes. 6 species of herbivores were abundant on goldenrod. These included 3 species of leaf miners, which we combine into 1 leaf mining guild, the leaf galler Astermia carboniferum, and the aphid species Uralucon luteolum and Uralucon niger tuberculatum. These herbivores preferentially attacked one cytotype of S. altissima within our natural field sites. So in this figure, the herbivore taxon is on the x-axis and the mean abundance is on the y-axis. And leaf miners and Uralucon luteolum were most abundant on diploids. Astermia carboniferum and Uralucon niger tuberculatum were most abundant on hexaploids. However, this figure shows our data from the common garden, and none of the herbivores preferentially attacked one cytotype in the garden. So this difference in host plant selection in natural sites versus a common garden suggests that cytotype alone does not influence host plant selection. So we tested which environmental factors may influence host plant selection using Akaiki's information criterion, or AIC. Specifically, we used AIC to determine whether the ploidal level, height of the ramet, distance to overstory trees, the number of plant species within 1 meter of the ramet, and the proportion of grasses within 1 meter of the ramet influence host choice by herbivores. Now, in our models, ploidal level is a categorical variable. But AIC is able to rank the 31 models for each herbivore and to calculate the relative power of each model to explain the observed patterns of host choice. Today, I will only be presenting the best models, as well as the likelihood that ploidal level alone influences host choice. The four tables of the results I'll show you are structured similarly. The model variables will be in the left-hand column, and the plus and minus signs will indicate whether the variable is positively or negatively correlated with the abundance of the herbivore. The delta AICC value is the level of empirical support for each model relative to all of the models in the candidate set. So models that have delta AIC values from 0 to 2 have a lot of empirical support. Those with 4 to 7 have less support. Those with 9 to 14 have little support. And those with values greater than 14 have no support. The weight of each model is the probability that that model is best, again, relative to all of the models in the candidate set. And this value will vary from 1, which indicates complete support, to 0, which is no support. And lastly, the R-squared values are the fit of the model to the data set. And this is also a useful indication of whether the model is a good predictive tool. So first, for leaf miners, we found that ploidal level alone does not explain host choice. This model has a high delta AIC value and relatively low weight, meaning that this model is pretty much implausible. On the other hand, the best model indicates that leaf miners are most abundant on diploids that are tall, far from overstory trees, surrounded by a high proportion of grass, and high plant richness. Ploidal level alone did not explain host choice by Acarbonifera. The delta AIC value for this model is large and the weight is low. Acarbonifera was most abundant on hexaploids that are tall and surrounded by low plant richness. Ploidal level alone did not explain host choice by Euluteolum. Again, the delta AIC value is large and the weight of the model is low. Euluteolum was most abundant on diploids that were tall and far from overstory trees. And lastly, ploidal level alone did not explain host choice by U. nigra tuberculatum. The delta AIC value is large and the weight for this model is low. So again, this is an implausible model. And for the first time, ploidal level is not included in the best model either. Euroleucon nigra tuberculatum was most abundant on tall ramets that were close to overstory trees and surrounded by low plant richness. So in summary, our first hypothesis was that ramets at different ploidal levels have distinct phenotypes and inhabit different microhabitats. This hypothesis received mixed support. The ramets did have distinct phenotypes and they inhabited different microhabitats in our natural sites. However, in the common garden, the differences in the phenotypes were non-existent. Again, this suggests that, you know, the environment may more likely influence phenotype than what ploidal level does. Our second hypothesis was that herbivores differentially attack cytotypes of S. altissima at a regional scale, and this was supported. If you remember, two of our herbivores, the leaf miners and Euroleucon luteolum, preferentially attack diploids, whereas the other two herbivore taxa, Euroleucon nigra tuberculatum and Astromyia carbonifera, preferentially attacked hexaploids. And lastly, our third hypothesis was that ploidal level influences host plant selection by herbivores, independent of environmental factors. And this hypothesis was not supported. Ploidal level alone did a very poor job of explaining the observed patterns of host choice. all of our models, all of our best models, had multiple variables in them, indicating that insects likely use multiple cues from the plant and the environment when selecting a host. And with that, I would like to thank all of you for being here, and I'll take questions at this time. Okay, go ahead.
So, do you have the appropriate sample size and enough insight to construct some structural equation models or utilize path analysis to look at some causal relationships among all those variables that you're looking at there?
I probably do have the appropriate sample size, but so far I haven't looked into path analysis at all.
Do you have ideas? It's interesting. You have all these suite of characteristics that are, you know, correlated. It'd be interesting to look at some of the relationships and which are causing which.
Yeah. Any other questions? Go ahead.
Why is it in the natural environment that different fertility levels are living in different habitats?
The question was, why are the different fertility levels living in different habitats? That's actually an outstanding question and something I hope to get to relatively soon. One thing we're finding is that, you know, the invertebrate herbivores in the common garden did not have any sort of a preference. But one thing I didn't include today was that vertebrate herbivores really whack the heck out of the diploids. So diploids in general were scarce at the field site, so it could be that these macro herbivores are influencing the distribution, or it could be competition among the poidal levels. And right now I have no idea, but that's something I'm hoping to get at within the next couple of years.
Go ahead.
It could be. I looked at natural enemies during the first year of this study, and natural enemies were in fairly low abundances, so I wasn't able to come up with any sort of significant patterns. But yeah, it would be interesting to look to see, you know, kind of what the cascading effects are.